Good morning and welcome to our AA meeting for Planet FM 104.6. My name is Sally, I'm an alcoholic and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with a serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today, our speakers are Catherine, Anna, and Albert, who will be sharing on their experience, strength, and hope. And this morning, we're going to start off with Catherine.
Thanks, Sally. Hi, my name's Catherine, and I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to share my experience, strength, and hope with you in the hope that you can learn that there is a solution to this disease called alcoholism. I picked up my first drink when I was about 14 to 15 years old. The reason I did that was because I was home alone and was feeling very uncomfortable with myself. I felt like I didn't fit in with my peers who were out socialising, and stumbled across vodka and drank it, took one sip, two sips, three sips, and thought, oh, this is the solution to my problem. And that, I thought, was all I needed to do, and then I continued my drinking like that for the next 35 years. I stopped drinking at 52, and I've been sober now for 9.5 years. What I didn't understand was what I thought was my solution was actually my problem, one of my problems, and the other problem I had was that I had a disease about life, that I wasn't right size, that I didn't fit in, that I wasn't good enough. And I had to learn in Alcoholics Anonymous that that just wasn't the case. So what happened by the end of my drinking days was that I had spiritually flatlined. I could see no hope in my life. My life had become very small. It was really about getting up, going to work, feeding the kids, drinking. You know, doing the basic things that I needed to do to keep my family alive, but essentially so that I could clear that out of the way and get stuck into the hearty drinking that I so craved and so loved. What I didn't understand was the crushing effect that was having on me and the people around me. So spiritually flatlining meant I had no sense of what I did have in my life. All I could see was what I didn't have. I was discontent, I was restless, I was irritable, I was always looking out to see what other people had. And the irony is that I had everything. I just couldn't see it. I had beautiful children, a really supportive partner, enough money to do what I wanted to do. I had an interesting job. I had it all, but I couldn't see it. And the reason I couldn't see it was because I was an alcoholic who not only couldn't control her drinking, but had the isms of alcoholism. And that I thought I was self-centred. I thought the world revolved around me and that people, places and things needed to revolve around me and make me happy. And it took me 35 years to realise that wasn't happening and was never going to happen because actually I'm not in control. And once I realised that I had limited control about things in my world. Things started to get better, but I could not do that without AA, the gentle hand of AA, taking me through the steps, which are steps that involve breaking down of the ego. My ego was huge. My self-esteem was low. I projected this massive ego to the world to protect the sense, the feeling I had inside. So what I had was an ability to be grateful. I had to learn gratitude. I had to learn humility. I had to learn tolerance. I had to learn compassion. AA taught me those things, and that was part of my 12-step journey. But first I had to admit that I was powerless over alcohol. And that is the first step, and that is the one thing you have to get 100% right. By the time I came into AA, I was beaten and broken. Physically, I think I could have carried on for another 20 years. But spiritually and emotionally, I was shattered. And I had to understand that I could not stop drinking. Once I picked up a drink, I could not stop. So that was something I really had to wrestle with, the fact that I was powerless over alcohol, that my relationship with alcohol was unhealthy, it was abnormal. And I thought my drinking was quite normal until I stopped drinking. Then the insanity of my drinking has become really apparent. So once I realised I was powerless over alcohol, it meant I had to search for something bigger than myself, because I thought I was the big. I thought I was the God. I thought I was in charge and in control of my life. But clearly I wasn't. So AA helped me get right-sized. My ego gets deflated. My self-esteem grows. So my spirit starts to soar, starts to sing, so long as I stick to the program and focus on the things I do have. I've had to find my own higher power. And for someone who was so cynical about religion, you know, that was a bit of a bitter pill to swallow, but AA helped me to understand that this isn't a religious program, it's a spiritual program, and my higher power can take whatever form I want it to be. So that gave me a real sense of freedom and peace, just to allow it to settle in, and it took me a few years. I didn't have a spiritual awakening, it was more like a slow dawning. Today I don't have to explain my higher power to you. I don't have to explain it to anyone. I don't have to justify it to anyone. It is mine and mine alone. And I know when I feel my higher power. And it's usually, or always, when I'm doing things that sit right with my spirit. So it might be a wonderful conversation with someone. It might be a walk in the forest. It might be doing a meeting with my fellow alcoholics. Like today, I feel spiritually really rich. So I have been taught to look for the things that are right in front of me that cost nothing. This is the joy of this program. And the more spiritually well I have become, the less I want for material things. And that's huge, because I have everything if I recognise it, if I acknowledge it, and if I show gratitude every day, then I can keep this. But it is, the more work I put into it, the more I get back. Big challenge for me was I actually had to do a moral inventory. I actually had to look at my flaws, and there were many, and things I thought were my strengths turned out to be huge flaws. So the scales kept falling from my eyes, and it was really painful to have to deconstruct and then reconstruct. And that is why I would suggest to any listeners, you can't do it on your own. It's too hard. You need to be surrounded by people who love you, who get you, and will help you reconstruct, because otherwise I don't think many of us have that ability to look really deep into our souls on our own. We are okay. We're sick. We're not bad. And with AA, I can live my life now. I have purpose. I can see how the few years I got, whatever years I've got left, I have a reason to live. And I didn't know that in the dying days of my drinking. I just could not see it all. So I would urge anyone who thinks they have a drinking problem to go into AA, go into a meeting, open-minded and willing. That's all you have to do. No one's going to tell you what to do. There will be suggestions only. And if you want what we have, then you can do this program. It's free, and you will get back what is given, and your life will take on a whole new meaning. With that, I'll stop, but I hope you find your way, and God bless. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing with us, Catherine. I would now like to invite Anna to share next.
Hello, my name is Anna and I'm an alcoholic. I'm thankful that I came into AA when I did, and it was only through the gift of desperation. When I came into AA, I was able to let go, well, I could only let go of pride, but pride was holding me back from seeking help. And that's the first thing that I had to do was to surrender and know that I couldn't do this by myself anymore. But casting back to when I was young as a teenager, I remember drinking when I was 15 and getting drunk and liking the effect of it. And it, to me, it was sort of normal in my teens and in my 20s. My friends got drunk with me. I didn't think anything of it. I thought that's what teenagers did. But got to a point in my early 20s where everybody started to notice that I drank too fast, I drank too much. And I didn't pay any attention. I just puddled on, thinking it wasn't really an issue. It started to affect me internally, and I stopped seeing the outside consequences of drinking. I stopped just seeing the hangovers and the inability and the forgetting and the blackouts, and started to see how I was feeling on the inside. And I started in my early 20s to notice that maybe there was something different with my drinking. Alcoholism or being an alcoholic didn't come into it. It was just I had an awareness that there was something just not quite right. And from that sort of early age, from then on, the more I became aware of how I felt about my drinking, I became more paranoid about it. I started to shy away from people. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. I couldn't tell anyone at work because I didn't think they would understand. And there was that stigma that as an alcoholic, it's something to be ashamed of. I couldn't feel like I could reach out to anyone. I had everything that was good in my life growing up. I had a loving family, I had a good job, I had nice relationships, I went to nice bars, I went to nice places with friends that I had, and I seemed to think that somehow my life was in control. But all those things over a period of time started to evaporate. As my drinking got worse, I found myself going to places that I wouldn't normally go to because I was scared of who was going to see me. I shied away from my friends or people I thought I might know, places that I wouldn't want to end up in, going out or dating people that perhaps weren't my first choice of people, because over time my self-esteem had diminished and I didn't have any self-worth left. To me, I was just a worthless drunk who had nothing to offer anyone, and I didn't think that I could have friends or boyfriends or anything in my life that was good anymore. So there was a lot of joy gone in my life, and all I had left really for me, as I felt, was just my job, which I worked hard at and I loved. But everyone around me could see me turning up to work every day struggling, and the fact that maybe I still had a job that was hanging by a thread is what kept me thinking, just maybe I still have some control in my life. Maybe I can still do this. I can still manage somehow. But internally, I was not manageable at all. My thoughts, how I felt about everything, was slowly spiralling out of control. My first surrender was actually at work when my company suggested that I seek help through rehab. And at that point, I was able to open up and tell them that I did need help. And I was grateful for that because I wouldn't have been able to stop myself without that intervention. And I went to rehab in 2007 for 4 weeks. And looking back, what I took from it, and it's not what was offered, so much more to me was offered, but what I took was it was 4 weeks where I dried out and I felt better and I was able to go back to work. But I didn't take away the program of AA or what they'd really taught me. And I didn't know that when I left that rehab and went back into the real world, that there would be a following 13 years of drinking and untreated alcoholism. And it wasn't until those 13 years later, much of which were frequent hospital visits with pancreatitis over a 20-year span from my mid-20s. All the hospital visits didn't stop me drinking. The fact that I had no friends left, the fact that I was hurting my family around me, and I just didn't feel like there was anything left in my life. I was pretty broken. Physically, I was a mess. I was very sick. I wasn't eating. I was very withdrawn socially. I felt socially inept was probably a good way to describe myself. I didn't know the basics of how to call anyone, use a phone anymore, reach out to people. I was still full of shame and I didn't feel like I had anybody that could understand. In desperation, I had ended up in AA after being detoxed, and there I found the people that understood, the people that I could open up to without any judgment. And that first night I went to my first meeting, I cried my eyes out and I was able to share from the heart exactly what was going on in my life, and no one blinked or judged. They just welcomed me, and I was offered the help from a lady that night, my first meeting. From there, when I found that there was the disease of alcoholism, though, once I put the drink down, it was only much later I discovered that the alcohol itself was a byproduct of something much deeper rooted in me, which was the disease. And what I didn't know was the inability to live life, accept life on life's terms and cope with life without the alcohol. And that's what this program offered me. It was a step program, which really for me was like a program of how to live. It was a simple way of living, and I needed the discipline because I could not do this myself. I needed the guidance, and I needed to be shown another way of living. So I followed the suggestions by the group, by the lady in this meeting, and slowly things did get better. And when she said to me that you can leave tonight and not ever pick up a drink again, that was a powerful message to me, which I took home that night, and I stayed sober. And I had a little glimmer of hope that things were going to get better. Today, I'm 3 years sober this year. I celebrate it. I am present today for my family. I have friends. And the biggest thing today is, most importantly, my sobriety. And I do have a faith in a higher power. I have a little bit of faith in myself. And that's what I'm really grateful for today. And life has gotten better. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Anna. So great to have you here. Our third and final speaker this morning is Albert. So over to you, Albert.
Kia ora tatou. Ko Albert Toku Ingoa. My name's Albert. I am an alcoholic. And thank you, Sally, for your service. Kia ora to the listeners this morning or this afternoon. I'm an alcoholic. I have been an alcoholic now for some years, and I've come to accept the fact that, you know, I cannot manage my alcoholism on my own. So as part of this program this morning, I have a negotiation with my higher power, and he is sitting with me right now at this meeting and helping to allay my fears of being here and being on this program. I started drinking pretty young. I was very awkward as a teenager growing up. I felt unsure of my place in the world. And then I had my first drink with some uncles in a garage. And, you know, I just came into my own. I gained this confidence that I didn't even know that I had before. And I went to university and I found drugs and I found sex and I found all of those things that I thought people did when they went to university. But what I didn't realize was that, you know, my excessive drinking and taking of drugs was really taking me down the gurgler. And, you know, some years later, when I look back at my own drinking behavior, I actually celebrated those stupid things that I did when I was at university. And life became also quite easy for me when I came out of university. You know, I was shoulder tapped for this job, and that became my life for a long, long time. It became just a bit too easy. I became more self-centered. I wanted more alcohol. I wanted more drugs in my life. And a lot of my time during the week was actually obsessing around when I was going to get drunk again. I was a binge drinker, and, you know, I'd save up for Friday nights, and then the drinking would start. And again, I noticed that, you know, while I was so, you know, proactive in drinking, most of my friends by about 2-3 o'clock in the morning had already gone home, and I'm the only one left drinking. And you know, it was pointed out to me that, you know, people don't drink like that, but I didn't see it. You know, all I was interested in was satisfying my own instant lack of pleasure. You know, at time, that gratification just wasn't satisfied as easy as most other people did. And then I got married and had kids, and I thought, well, this is now going to take a turn, and I might be able to sort of manage my drinking better. But it didn't. But I also noticed that as I grow older, you know, most of the people that I knew were now having families, they were having children, they were having fantastic things like mortgage. But it didn't worry me. You know, I just couldn't really sort of reconcile with the fact that, you know, it was time to actually grow up and do things. So I continued drinking, and I found that I was actually looking more for strangers to become drinking mates rather than good, you know, well-established friendships with other people that I had known over the years. And then I got married and I had children, and, you know, time after time my wife would say, right, you know, I'm sick and tired of your behaviour. And, you know, she would leave with the kids, and I'm left behind, and I think, right, you know, now this will be an opportunity for me to continue to drink. And it just didn't get any better. Then I also discovered that, you know, I was quite emotionally immature, because I had stymied my own emotional growth by having drugs and alcohol in my life, and it didn't give me that opportunity to organically grow up emotionally. And so I was having real difficulties in actually sort of managing my emotions more. I also found that, you know, when I then found Alcoholics Anonymous, and I became a part of the meetings, and I reached out to other alcoholics to help me, you know, recover, I discovered that, you know, things like I hurt easily. It's one of my traits as an alcoholic. I emotionally get hurt by the stupidest of comments or by a look that somebody gives me. You know, it just tore me apart, you know. Yet when there's a typhoon in some part of the world and 300 people died, it was like, oh, okay, so that's what happens when a typhoon strikes. So I started to look at the program of Alcoholics Anonymous more and more seriously, and I had to make that admission that, A, I was an alcoholic and that my life was unmanageable, and God knew it was very, very unmanageable. And so I accepted that. And then I also realized that I had to take on a higher power and, you know, a power greater than myself, something or someone that I could actually, you know, share things with on an intimate basis. And I realized that actually I had that higher power within myself all the time. It was my wairua. I had suppressed my wairua, my spirit within myself. And the minute I actually started to acknowledge that part of me, you know, my sobriety actually became a lot more easier to manage. And, you know, at today, you know, I consider God to be my higher power in this program. You know, it is a totally different life altogether for me. I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous now for almost 32 years. And in that 32 years, I've still become quite childish and quite infantile in a lot of the things that I do, but I've also managed to actually manage myself better. It's in these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that I've actually learned to grow up. It's in these rooms that I've learned to become a better father and a better friend and a better husband and a better neighbor and a better worker and things like that. You know, I've also started to accept the fact that honesty, brutal and vigorous honesty, had to be a large part of my recovery, because there's a lot of things that I look for shortcuts to get to. And some of those shortcuts that I took gave me some achievements, and normally those achievements would be very, very short-lived. So I owe this program a hell of a lot. I owe a lot of the people in Alcoholics Anonymous a lot for my own sobriety. And funnily enough, when I came into these rooms, I thought, my God, you know, I'm going to have to leave my friends behind, because I'm going to have to go down the pathway of being an alcoholic, and God only knows what that's going to involve. Well, the funny thing is, when I actually sobered up, none of my best friends ever bothered to find out how I am. Today, the majority of my friends are from within the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, today my growth has been as a result of hanging out with alcoholics and sharing my more intimate, you know, hurts and pains and life, really. So I'm grateful to be on this program. And again, thank you, Sally, for the opportunity to be on this show. My name's Albert and I'm an alcoholic.
Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning, Albert. Well, that is all the time we have, and I would just like to say a really big thank you to Catherine, Anna and Albert for sharing with us this morning. We are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m, so tune in to Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 229 6757 or go to the AA website, where you will find a whole lot of information about AA and also where meetings are in your local area. Now, could we all please close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The noise is deafening in here. I can see very clearly. Everybody's in the kitchen swapping recent horror stories. Getting my reasoning straight. Came here to loosen the reins and tripped up the stairs. It's crowded in here. That's when I saw him. He was 6'1" with a shirt undone, and I was dancing in the hallway. I heard his name and I met my fate and threw myself across the doorway and said, "Dance with me, I'm begging you, please. In the low light, you look like a dream. Oh, come with me. I promise I'm sweet and you're in the driver's seat. Like, dance with me, I'm begging you, please. In the low light, you look like a dream. Oh, come with me. I promise I'm sweet and you're in the driver's seat. Ooh. I like to stay up late, waste time on arcade games, or we could go driving. Really don't mind, whatever you want to. 'Cause you're 6'1" with your shirt undone, and I'm a sucker for the long game. I heard your name and I met my fate. Now I just want you to say something. Say, dance with me, I'm begging you, please. In the low light, you look like a dream. Oh, come with me, I promise I'm sweet. And you're in the driver's seat. Like, dance with me, I'm begging you, please. In the low, get that lie, but the clock could be ticking.